This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Whew, that sounded fantastic. Well, welcome to Prayer of Faith today. What a beautiful day this is. And today we're starting off a new series called People of Purpose. And we're talking about God's people. Hopefully that's most of us, and the purpose that He has for us, and we want to set out to do the right things. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, that's where we'll start. And understanding really what our purpose is, it sounds simple, and it is, yet it's complex and complicated, so it's a little bit of everything. But throughout the Bible, I don't want you to think that anything I say today is it. Well, these are the three things of purpose we have to maintain. And once we have those three, we're good to go. The Bible, the New Testament, is full of examples that Jesus Christ gave us, instructions that the disciples gave us and the apostles gave us to follow. And as we turn to Luke chapter 6, we're talking about finding power and purpose as well. But we have to understand the power is not in us. So listen carefully. The power of purpose is not in us. Okay? But it's in your purpose. And it's in your witness. So that power of purpose doesn't come from just us being. It comes in us understanding what our purpose is and the witness that we are for Jesus Christ once we discover that purpose. Young people just came back from Falls Creek. There were a lot of decisions made down there, recommitments. There were a lot of people who said, I believe I'm called into some type of ministry. And we talked about that last week. And we talked about we have to be here to support them, to help them. Say, okay, how can we help you along that journey? Rather than just saying, that's great. Like saying, hey, I want to become a grape. I'm here on the grapevine. They can't do it on their own. Okay, it takes different people to help them along the way. And that's what we need to be here for. And in Luke chapter 4 and 5, getting up to that, it tells us about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And I want us to pay attention, again, in chapters 4 and 5. Pay attention to what happened. We're not going to read there, but He started His ministry. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where He was tempted by Satan. It's important in that one statement we understand what happened. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted by who? Satan. Okay, a lot of times you say, why did God tempt me to do this? The enemy will tempt you to do things. And I want to point out three things before we even start the message today. Number one is, when you are following the will and the Spirit of God, you may be tempted by the enemy, who is Satan. So don't think, there's no way I'd come under this attack if I was following God's will. Absolutely. When people decide, when young people, when you guys come back and say, hey, I want to be followers of Christ. I believe I'm called into ministry or mission work or something. Older people, not teens. You may have those awakenings, those decisions, and say, I want to do this, and I want to be a part of this ministry. Oh, my Lord, something's come against me. That must not be the will of God. It's important that we understand and recognize when the Spirit of God is calling us. And that we respond, but know that when we respond in following the will of God and the Spirit, we can and probably will be tempted by the enemy, who is Satan. Then Jesus begins His ministry again in chapter 4 and 5 of Luke. Jesus begins His ministry. And what happens when He goes to Nazareth? He's rejected. I believe I should start this ministry. I'm going here. You may be rejected when you start a ministry. When you're following the will of God, you may be rejected. Number two, be ready to face rejection. And again, we haven't even got to the message today. These are just getting us there. But what happens? Jesus moves on, doesn't He? He gets up and He gets the dust off His feet and they move on. And when He moves on, He heals and He preaches in Capernaum and other towns and in and around Galilee. So when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted by the enemy, he pressed on. When he was rejected at Nazareth, he moved on. When he did his ministry, or then after that, he continued to do his ministry. So number three, continue on with your ministry. Don't face the first setback and say, I'm out of here, I'm done. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute as we get our little feelings hurt. I don't care if it's a church or at work or in the home. My Lord, Christians, we have got to get stronger in our faith to quit letting every little thing hurt our feelings. I guess I'm not called to do this. Someone had a problem with the way I did it. I guess I'm not called to do this. My Lord, Pastor Eric and I, 4 years ago next month, took over as leaders of this church. I know some people have a problem with that word takeover, but anyway, lack of better word. We took over the leadership of the church. I'm looking around and seeing some families that were here then that aren't here now. Oh, my Lord. We should just quit, Eric. They didn't like us. Big deal. We've got a lot of new faces. So far, I guess you guys like us. Okay? My point being that we can't get our feelings hurt. We have to continue to preach the gospel and know the way and the style that God wants us to do that to lead this church. So that's just getting to chapter 6. And then Jesus, as he's doing that, he calls his disciples to him. And we're going to start in chapter 20, verse 27 of Luke chapter 6. And it's right after the Beatitudes. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, he says, But I say to you who hear, Christians always hate hearing this, I don't know why, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. That's a toughie. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And I find that interesting that, you know, as they're talking about the tunic and the cloak, the tunic is the undergarment, the cloak is the outer garment. And it says if they ask for one, give them the other. Well, verse 30, imagine that. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Is that a familiar verse? We may call it the golden rule. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Let's think back over the past week, the past month, the past year, in relationships, in families. In workplaces, did we do to others as we want them to do to us? And if we say yes, then we want people to treat us poorly sometimes. I assure you, at least in my case, I try and be good in the things that I do, in the business affairs that I deal with, in the home life, all those things that I do. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, why we do that. And it says in verse 32, it goes on to say, But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you love those who love you, what credit is that? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. You understand that this is calling us to be different. It says even the sinners do that. It's calling us not to be. It's calling us to separate ourselves from the sinners. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Well, here we go again with a tough one. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for what in return? Hoping for nothing in return. Hoping for nothing in return. We have to understand that. When we do good, we've got to quit expecting someone to pay us back or give us kudos, and we do it because it's the right thing to do. Thank you. But it says, for nothing in return, why? Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And I think when we look back, verse 31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. When we are become people of purpose, and we set out to have purpose, we talked a little bit Wednesday night about purpose, and understanding what God's desire for us is, it kind of comes, well, it comes down to some commandments, and it comes down to Jesus' examples. But this verse 31 to me says it all. Treat others like you want to be treated. And then do and give. As God's people, let's try and clarify that a little bit. As God's people, what does that mean? I don't know. We have different words for it. Followers. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Really? What do you do? Well, I attend service once a week. Okay, then what do you do the rest of the days? As seekers, what do? Disciples, ambassadors, imitators. Likewise, be imitators of Christ. Witnesses, servants. We talked in Bible study over the last several Wednesday nights, going back a few months, in Acts. It talked all about the witness of Jesus Christ and His work, His death, His resurrection. And we talked about being good witnesses. There's good witnesses and bad witnesses. And I gave the example of a car crash I saw one time, and the police said, what happened? This guy said, well, he was wearing a seatbelt and he ran a red light and whatever, and they asked me what happened. I said, well, nothing of what that man said happened. Okay, I don't know where he was looking and what he saw, but that is absolutely not what happened. I was talking to my friend. I looked up and said, uh-oh, that guy's moving pretty quick for a red light. And the other guy ran the red light. And this guy flew halfway out of his car and then back in. There's no way he was wearing a seatbelt. Those are bad witnesses. I don't know what they wanted to see. And there were the same things, and there are the same things in the church back then. You know, hey, what's Jesus Christ doing in your life? Well, He's doing this. What's He doing here? I don't know. I've been hurt by the church, and I understand that that happens. And I don't know that people are really hurt by the church so much as they are hurt by individuals in the church. I could be wrong. But we also have to be careful. We want to be good witnesses. We want to be good witnesses. Servants. Servants of Jesus Christ. He calls us to serve. He said, I came to be served. No, I came to serve others, not to be served. He gave us that example. Worshippers, we had a great opportunity today to worship in His presence and in His Spirit and get outside of ourselves. All these things have purpose. When we are God's people, His followers, His seekers, disciples, ambassadors, imitators, witnesses, servants, worshipers, when we're truly those things, and we're truly seeking Him, and when we worship Him, we're truly seeking Him rather than for the song to be over. Oh, be over song. When we seek Him, we find Him even in the things that we don't like doing. Seekers, imitators, ambassadors, they will love their enemies. They will do good to those who hate them. They will pray for those who spitefully use them. So as we examine that list, I want you to think about some of those names I gave you. Seekers, ambassadors, imitators, worshipers, disciples, followers. God's people. Believers. The one that I didn't put on that list was attenders. Attenders usually have one purpose. It's self. I attend. I want to make myself or my friends or my family feel good. And it's about self. I want to check the box that said I went to church for many, many years. What'd you do there? I did nothing. But I attended. Did you study? No. I attended and I listened. Listen, church, as I said, we have to quit being offended by the world. The world is of the flesh. And God calls us to get past that. He says we have to crucify the flesh. We have to pick up our cross daily. Daily. And carry it. Sometimes that can leave calluses on us. It can strain our body. But He says, pick it up daily. That mind that gets filled all day long with the world and the flesh, renew it. Come and renew it every day. When you come here, you should be renewing. Through Pastor Ferguson, through myself, through your Sunday school classes. What great opportunities. Through our connect groups that meet throughout the week and throughout the month. What great opportunities. You thought I took you through some tough Bible studies, tried doing the end of Daniel as we're doing. It's a toughie. But the communication and the growth and the iron that sharpens iron that's there and present and the fellowship and the getting to know one another, that happens here. It happens in Sunday school. It happens in connect groups. It happens throughout the week. It happens when you go out to dinner, go to lunch, have someone over just to play games. It happens in all types of settings. We have to stop being offended by the world. To have no trust in others. To have no faith in others. To have no faith in ourselves. We can't come to, every time we come to a family gathering or a church gathering or a meeting or work, wearing our holsters with guns on both sides, old gunslingers. Assume positive intent. Why? Why would we assume positive intent? Hold your finger there. We're coming back to that. Flip over to 2 Timothy. And I'll tell you why. Assume positive intent because it's biblical. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us why we should assume positive intent. Because it's biblical. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Listen to verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings. Why? Because they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. So when we act right and assume others will act right, it's biblical. But it goes on further on in verse 23. And verse 23 says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. I won't ask for examples, but think of family, work, school, teachers, students, parents, children, whatever. But avoid these things. As followers, as seekers, I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says, avoid them. Okay, great. I'm a seeker. It tells me to avoid it. I've heard it. Let's do it. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. And we talked about this Wednesday night. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to who? To all. Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the what? The snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's why this came up so easily Wednesday night, was because it was in my message today that I've been preparing for weeks. So we talked about this briefly Wednesday. Are you telling me by my example, I could be a witness and a light to others? Absolutely. Absolutely. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I love that. I love that. Assume positive intent with others because it's biblical. When we face trials and struggles, defeat, flip back to Luke chapter 6 if you would. And as you're turning there, remember Paul's word in Philippians chapter 1 verse 12. And it says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Church, as we go through trials and struggles and pain and suffering, remember, we are people of purpose, and we have to understand that. I want you to know, we're witnesses telling people, I want you to know that although I've gone through this and it's been tough, the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's our purpose, the furtherance of the gospel. My Lord, to our lost family members, to our lost co-workers, to our missing in action church members, our goal is the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of the gospel. As we turn back to Luke chapter 6, it goes on and it tells us in verse 37, judge not. Remember, we're people of purpose. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Don't do this, don't do that. But what does it say after that? Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We haven't got to tithing yet in people of purpose. And we will, because we're people of purpose. But listen, it says, don't do this, or this will happen. Don't do this, or this will happen. Those are two warnings. Don't judge, or you'll be judged. Don't condemn, or you will be condemned. But what does it say to do? Forgive. And with that comes the reward. You'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given back to you. What measure? For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, for years, some people keep saying, I should have given more. I should have given more. My taxes would have been better if I gave more, but, well, I tried to squeeze and hold it myself. But if I gave more, I would have got more back in taxes. Well, I'm thinking, forget the IRS benefit. Do what God tells you to do in His Word and give. And God loves a what giver? Cheerful giver. I love to do that. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I've been asked about our missions and what are we doing, and we've done things over the years, and what are we doing now with missions? And I said, we will continue doing mission work as our congregation continues to give towards mission work. Am I spelling anything out for you? Guys, when we focus on just taking care of the building, and that's what we do, we don't do anything lavish necessarily and wasteful in this church. But it's hard to do mission work when we're taking care of the basics. God says, man, we've got to be good stewards of everything He's entrusted to us. Amen? That includes our gifts, right? Kisha, thank you for sharing your gift today. It's been many years. Kisha led worship for many years. Thank you for sharing that gift with us again. Laren and Kayla, thank you for sharing your gift with us again today. What a blessing that was. You see, we have to be good stewards of everything. If this is His house, we must take good care of it. If this is His gift, we must exercise it and use it. If this is the job that He gave us, we should do our best. And if this is the money He's given us for that job, we should do as He tells us to do. And a portion of that is to give. Great. You guys are going to have to hear that in another couple weeks. Okay. But since we were on it. And it does say give, and it will be given back to you. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I heard a radio conversation the other day. And it said, survey tells you, you know, all you people holding out for the lottery and all that stuff, or the jackpot at the casino. It says, the surveys taken have showed that when people get more, they don't give any more. It's not going to change if your habit isn't now to give this portion. When you're a millionaire, you're not going to be a gracious giver. If you're not one now, you won't be one when you have more money. Give, and it'll be given back to you in the same measure. By the way, the person that was talking about that was the Green family from Hobby Lobby. Oh my Lord, what an amazing family that is. We have a group, they say, and we decide where our money will go. We give half of it away. We give half of our money away every year. My Lord, no wonder they are growing. And I appreciate those that say, we've got to give, and I agree, to missions. And we can't forget that. Church, we have got to give to other things besides taking care of the facility. We will give in the measure that it is given to us, and at the rate that it is given to us. Be cheerful givers. I don't want to overshadow the forgiveness. Forgive others so that you may be forgiven. Quit holding on to grudges for years and years. Family members, exes, whatever. God took someone from you. Forgive so that you can be forgiven. Verse 39. And He spoke a parable to them. It says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher.
I guess that goes back to that phrase that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears also. Are you ready to be taught? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Oh my Lord, we're such helpful people trying to point out people's speck. Oh, let me help you. You've got a speck in your eye. Huge timber in our own. But it brings it all to clarity here in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. But listen carefully. It says, For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So we've got to remember, judging and condemning, bad. Forgiving and giving, good. If we desire to be people of purpose, and that list I read off, seekers, disciples, followers, imitators, believers, ambassadors, if we desire to be those people, then we've got to change our focus. And we have to get on focus. Think about collaboration versus competition. And what's our natural tendency? To be competitive people. Let me watch out for number one. I want to beat everyone. And I want to make sure everyone understands that I know more, I do more, I give more, whatever it is. We're competitive people. That's normal. We want to compete. Here's the difference between the two. In competition, you are self-serving. In collaboration, you serve the team. In competition, you drown out other voices. In collaboration, you foster healthy communication. In competition, you always try to one-up others. In collaboration, you empower each voice in the room. In competition, you stifle growth and stunt growth. In collaboration, you encourage growth in others. I try very hard in my other job to encourage people to be the best they can be. I try to encourage young people, save this money. Open a 401k here. Do this. Hey, don't make these mistakes I made. Are you interested in this? Because if you are, boom, let's start working. Young people came back from Falls Creek that have made a ministry decision or think that's somewhere in their life. Then let's set apart and start training you for that. And start setting time aside to talk with you about that. And explore those options and opportunities. Rather than, good luck, a high five and a thumbs up. Good luck, let me know how that turns out. Collaboration says, man, we want to encourage that growth. We want to make sure the quiet voice is heard. Everyone hears the loud mouth. They won't shut up usually. But we want to encourage the voice of the quiet one. That's collaboration versus competition. Churches, by the way, they compete also. Collaboration allows our youth building to be used by other churches. So people that aren't coming here can have a place to go and start their church and exist over there and further the gospel. Competition says, sorry, we can't share with another church. Collaboration says, Buddhist temple across the street, absolutely, you can use our parking lot. Rather than saying, we can't talk to you, you're the enemy. People of purpose love all. It tells us they love all. Enemies, neighbors, family, everyone. Love all. They forgive. They give. They serve. And then when doing so, as this just said, they're known by their fruit. And your fruit is your actions towards one another and your words. When I close in prayer almost every week, I ask God to help us and direct us in our actions and in our words. That's very intentional to remind us those are two things that differentiate us from others. Now, someone reminded me, well, also we follow a risen Savior. Yes, I agree. But I'm talking about as followers of Christ, our actions and words, we have a certain way that we should be behaving as we go out throughout the week. Amen? In this past week, past month, I always say week because I'm sure there's a time in the week that's fresh, but in the last month, did your actions towards co-workers, family members, strangers, don't forget strangers, did your actions and words towards them show your true colors or the colors that you wave on Sunday morning when you come into church and into His presence? He knows. The only one you may be deceiving is one of us around. But He knows. But when we become people of purpose, we say, I need to make a change. You'll be tempted. You'll be rejected. But you'll get up, wipe the dust off your feet, and you'll move on and press on as people of purpose. There's 24 hours in a day. 1,440 minutes in a day, 86,400 seconds in a day. And I want you to think, how much time did you spend focusing on your purpose in the last 24 hours, in the last week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as people of purpose, we thank You so much for the opportunity to read Your Word, to open Your Word, to apply Your Word. Lord, today all I'm simply asking is those that need help in focusing on their purpose, that they would reach out to You. Lord, it doesn't necessarily show a sign of weakness. It shows a sign of strength to say, I understand that I'm off kilter a little bit. I may be off the path a little bit. Or I just need to focus a little more. Today, Heavenly Father, awaken us. Awaken those of us that sleep, that have grown into a slumber, a spiritual slumber, Lord, that You would wake us. Heavenly Father, as we focus on this next week, we think about our purpose. We think about the judging and the condemnation. Lord, help remove that from us. But Lord, help us grow in the areas of forgiveness and giving.
Heavenly Father, would you draw us closer to you, closer to one another? And Lord, as we go out this week, help us guide our actions with those we know, those we don't know, that as witnesses of your love and your sacrifice for us, that we would show them grace. Lord, as we do things, we do it with a spirit of love and gentleness. Lord, that we cut out the arguing and fighting with one another. Lord, your word tells us to be approved, to be diligent, that we present ourselves approved to you. So we don't need to be ashamed of our actions. Lord, help guide our tongue and the words we speak to one another, those again that we know and don't know, in the things we do and the things we say, they reflect your love and your light. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.